Hey folks, it's James Cooper with Free Indeed Prison Ministry. And today I want to talk about something that has been such a heavy burden on my heart for a long time now. But as I read in the scriptures, I see that it was a tremendous burden upon the heart of Jesus and all of the apostles as they also warned the people about these things that were already entering into the church in their day. But what I'm talking about is the deception that multitudes have been deceived by religion. The deception and the working of Satan is always through religion. One thing that so few people realize is the way Satan deceives people is through religion. He's a religious devil. That has been his tactics from the very beginning. He never wanted to be a devil. He wanted to be God. That was the original sin. That was the very original sin when he said in his heart, I will ascend my throne above the stars of God. I will sit as God. And his desire was to be God in the heavens, worshipped by all the angels as God, but he said, I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He also wanted to be God in the earth, worshipped by mankind as God. His desires has never changed, but the way that he works and deceives is through the realm of the church. And all of the apostles warned about these things, but I want to read a passage here in the book of Matthew, chapter 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is already warning the people of this very deception that is through the false teachers. And this is the way Satan works. But he says in verse 13, Matthew 7 and 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many. And if you look up this word, many, in the Strong's Concordance, the Greek word is polus, and the definition is much in any respect. Largely, mostly, altogether, common, great, plenteous. This is that wide and broad way that leads to destruction, that leads to damnation, that leads to that lake of fire. But Jesus said, almost all will go in there. Almost all. Many will go in. Multitudes will flood in through that religious broad way of deception. And he said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto eternal life, and few that there be that find it. Few. And why would that be? Why would there be so many deceived, and so few that find the truth that leads to eternal life? And Jesus said that truth, knowing that truth, will make you free. Think about this. In our day, in this last generation, which we are living in the last days of the last generation, but Jesus said the truth will make you free. And there is no doubt what he was talking about being made free from. He said, he that commits sin is a servant to sin. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He was talking about being made free from sin. And God does not deal with sin as merely being the things that a person does. He deals with the source, the sin nature that we inherited from Adam's transgression. We inherited this when we were born into this world. We were born sinners. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. But when Jesus said that truth will make you free, free from sin, praise God. That's what the Savior saves his people from. Not hell. He doesn't come to save his people from hell. He comes to save them from sin. But think about this. The very work of salvation is to be saved from sin, made free from sin. And how many today would stand up and shout, we're all sinners. As long as we're in this body, we're going to be a sinner. How many times have you heard that from pulpits? How many times have you heard that in one shape or another in the messages that are preached today in this last generation? That is that broad way that leads to destruction. But right here, Jesus is talking about these two gates. And why would there be so many that lead to destruction and very few that find the truth? He tells us the very reason why in the next verse. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruit. And he goes on down, and he's given two categories here over and over. He says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now right here, Jesus is talking about the religious. But not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. And I guarantee you, everyone who is in any kind of a ministry position, anyone who calls themselves a pastor, a minister, a reverend, a worship leader, a Sunday school teacher, whatever, they would believe with all their heart that they're doing the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Now listen again, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So those who have a position of ministry and believe they're laboring in the kingdom of God, they would also believe they're doing the will of the Father. The next verse, Jesus said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Listen to this. They believe they have done many wonderful works. They believe they have done the will of the Father. They believe they know the Lord. But listen what Jesus says. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This would be the most horrible words to ever hear. These words would be the nightmare of eternity. They would echo throughout all of eternity for somebody who's cast into that lake of fire, who believed they knew the Lord. They were very religious, but they still had iniquity. They still had that inner working of sin in their heart. They were not made free. They were on that wide and broad way, that religious broad way that leads to destruction. But they thought they knew the Lord. Those that hear the truth of the gospel today, that get angry, it's always the religious. It is always the religious. I do a prison ministry. And every new unit that I start, I've been doing the prison ministry for about 9 years. And every time I start a new unit, man, it's like it divides the church from the very first service. There's a division. Those who get angry because the truth of the gospel is saying Christ died to crucify our old man of sin. Christ died to destroy the sin nature. He that is dead is freed from sin. He that is dead, crucified with Christ, is free from sin. And those who are religious, those who are teaching another Jesus and another gospel, just like Paul warned about in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, those who would come preaching another gospel about another Jesus with another spirit, they get furious. They say, we're all sinners. Who does he think he is? And I'm preaching none other thing than what the Word of God says. that it means exactly what it says. But the reason they get so mad is first because it's telling them they're wrong, and that those who they have preached to, those that they have taught, they have taught them wrong. So their pride rises up. But the thing that makes them the most furious is that the truth is telling them, if sin is still in your heart, you're not only wrong about what you believe and preach, but you are lost. And that makes them furious. These are the ones on that wide and broad way that leads to destruction. But you need to know now that there is going to come a time when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ, the Creator who was made flesh, that went to the cross to take away our sin, to make an end of sin, to save His people from their sin. And if you have a King James Bible, it is written so clearly in the Scriptures. It's hid right here in plain sight, but it's hid because people are blinded by the veil of tradition, what they have been taught. But if you will cast away the church doctrines that you have been taught and believe the Word of God for exactly what it says, in a King James Bible, you will see that finished work. It is finished. That was the last words of Jesus at the cross. Everything God had sent Christ to do was finished at the cross. And for the believer, everything that God said the Christ would do in Daniel 9:24, that He would finish the transgression, make an end of sin, that He would make reconciliation for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness. He does all of this in the heart of the believer. He redeems us back to what God created. God's purpose in the beginning, He said, let us make man in our likeness and our image. What God is what He created mankind to be, holy like He is holy. But what He purposed in creation is His eternal purpose. When that was lost with the fall of man, when Adam disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit, that is also God's purpose in redemption. Praise God. His purpose has never changed. Salvation is the undoing of what happened in the garden, but it is far beyond that. Romans chapter 5 uses these words much more. Five times in chapter 5, much more. Redemption is much more than the fall. God had created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and he was placed in the Garden of Eden, and he was tested, and he failed. But we're not redeemed back to something that failed. We're not redeemed back to Adam. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first man was of the earth, earthy, but the second man is the Lord from heaven, Christ, the Creator of all things, that was made flesh. We are redeemed to Christ, who was also tested, but He did not fail. He was victorious, and He is that incorruptible seed that we are born of. When we are born again, our first birth requires a second birth. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Nobody can get rid of the sin in their heart. Nobody can change what they are inside. But that is the very work of salvation. That is what Christ went to the cross to do. That is the reality of one who has been born of God. The old man is dead. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. That's the language of death. He's dead. He's crucified with Christ. Paul said, he that is dead is freed from sin. But everyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Praise God. Born again without the sin nature. Now, I want to go over to Jeremiah and read a passage in Jeremiah. In the 5th chapter and verse 21. No, I'm sorry, verse 30. It says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. And this word wonderful does not mean a great and good thing like we think of wonderful. It means something that would make a person wonder. They would be in awe. They would be shocked. They would be stupefied. Something that just is so hard to even imagine or believe. A wonderful, is full of wonder and horrible thing is committed in the land. It says, the prophets prophesy falsely. and the priest bear rule by their own means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? God is saying, the prophets are prophesying falsely. The ministers bear rule by their own means. They're preaching their own message. They're preaching what the people want to hear, but it's not the word of God. But God says, this is the horrible part. This is the part that shocked God, that it's full of wonder. My people love to have it so. They love to be told what they want to hear. And they'll receive the word of God if it's saying what they want to hear. But what about the words of God that does not make you feel good? It is not speaking good things to you. It is still the word of God, and it is still true. And we better take heed to what God's word says. Now, in the very next chapter, it says in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not hear. We will not listen. We will not walk in the old ways. And I want to ask you today, how different is it from the days of Jeremiah? Today, how are the people different from in the days of Jeremiah? When you give them the true word of God and you tell them the hour that we're in and the danger that is just ahead, and they don't want to hear it. That's not what they want to hear. That's not what they want to believe. But God is asking, what will you do in the end thereof? We just read what the end thereof is going to be. When Jesus said, many will enter in to that wide and broad way that leads to destruction. Many are going to hear the words, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And all of their excuses, Lord, we've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devil. We've done many wonderful works in your name. It will mean nothing. Jesus did not hear their excuses and say, oh, I forgot about all of those things. He said, I never knew you. This is the end thereof. What will you do in the end thereof? Paul said we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all stand before the judgment seat of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. The one who died for us to take away our sin. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged by what we did with Christ. Man, God's word tells us very clearly why Christ was made flesh, why he came, why the creator of all things received a flesh and blood and bone body for the purpose of dying, because Christ was eternal. He was an eternal spirit. He could not die, but only the creator could die. And that original creation that was polluted with sin would die with him. Our old man, our old sin nature that we were born with would die with him. How do we receive this great miracle of God? By believing God, by wanting it and believing God. Those who hear the truth of the gospel and hear it as good news. Man, you mean I can be free? I can be free from sin. I can be free from this horrible filthiness that's inside of me that I've struggled with for so long. I can be free. Thank you, Jesus. Those who can hear the truth and rejoice in it, they can go free. Those who get mad and get angry at the truth, they will not walk in the old ways. They don't want to hear the watchman sounding the trumpet. They say, we will not walk therein. We will not hearken. But God is saying, but what will you do in the end thereof? I'm telling you, the end thereof always comes. There is no escape in the end thereof. It will come, and it will be here very, very soon. Man, the end thereof for the last 6,000 years since Adam and Eve sinned, everyone that has died came to the place where God is talking about the end thereof. Their eternity was sealed. Everyone who took their last breath, their eternity is sealed. But there is something else that seals eternity. And we are the only generation that this will ever affect. But it is the return of Jesus Christ. And we are 56 years into the last generation that will live on this earth before His return. We are in the last days of the last generation. I'll tell you right now, the sixth trumpet is beginning to sound, which will bring one-third of mankind will be slain. It is going to bring the greatest slaughter of human life the world has ever seen. But in that storm will also be the greatest harvest of souls the world has ever seen. We're in the beginning of the sixth trumpet sounding, and the seventh one will come very soon, which is the return of Jesus Christ. And that will be the end thereof. For everyone on this planet, that will be the eternity sealed for each one of us. And then judgment. What will you do in the end thereof? But what is so important as you hear this message, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There is still time to cast away the lies and the deception that has held you bondage to sin. Listen, Satan can only hold a person in bondage to sin by them holding on to his lie, his religious lies. One of them that has filled the church of this last generation is that Jesus died to take the penalty for your sin. But we're all sinners, and as long as you believe in him, you're going to go to heaven when you stand before God. You're not going to go to hell because he took your penalty. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is a religious deception that is bringing multitudes into that broad way that leads to destruction. Still in their sin because they've believed the wrong gospel about the wrong Jesus. When Satan comes to deceive a person, it's often from the pulpit of a church. And if he's preaching the wrong Jesus, do you know what name he's going to go by? Jesus. He's going to go by Jesus. And everyone knows Jesus saves. He's going to be it's going to be a message about Jesus saves, but it's going to be a saved from hell. If you will repeat these words of a prayer with a preacher, now you're saved. If we can get you baptized, now you're saved. And every time that those words are spoken from a preacher or a person to another person, now you're saved. They're actually telling them you're saved from hell. Because if they know what salvation is, it's a pure heart. Praise God. It is when sin is removed out of the heart. No man knows another man's heart. You cannot tell a person now you're saved because you have did this or said this prayer or whatever. But I have seen many, many souls damned by ministers in the prisons and outside the walls of the prisons, in the churches, by getting them to repeat a prayer and giving them the wrong Jesus, the wrong gospel, and it comes with the wrong spirit. That's why people rise up in anger when they hear the truth. They have another spirit, a religious, unclean spirit that leaves the people in their sin. And Satan has been very busy spreading another gospel about another Jesus when the truth is right here. For those who want to see it, get you a King James Bible and read it. Man, read Romans chapter 6 and then read it again. Rejoice in it, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin be destroyed, that henceforth we do not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. This is a baptism into his death. Praise God. It's not a water baptism. It's a baptism by faith into his death. A water baptism does not have the power to place you into his death. But believing that truth, knowing that truth that Jesus said would make you free, does. And it's the truth about Christ, who Christ is, what God sent him to do, and how that he did it all at the cross. This is a baptism into his death. You know, Jesus spoke to his disciples shortly, just before going to the cross. And he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? And he's talking about his death. How am I straitened? How am I stressed and pained in my very heart, looking toward this, knowing what is ahead of me, knowing what is coming. Man, anybody that knew they were going to be beaten beyond recognition and whipped and a crown of thorn pressed down into their head and crucified and nailed to a cross and mocked and scourged and killed, they would be straightened. They would be so pained until this, but he called it a baptism. A baptism, and we are baptized into Jesus Christ by believing the truth, knowing that our old man of sin is crucified with him. If that's good news to you, you lay hold to it. Let go of the lie of Satan that he has held you bondage for so many years. Let go of it. He cannot hold you if you want what Christ died to give you and you believe the truth. He was defeated in the blood of Jesus. He was defeated. He was cast out of heaven when the blood of Christ was shed. You can read it in Revelation chapter 12. But it says he's come down in great wrath, knowing he hath but a short time. He was cast out of heaven 2,000 years ago when Christ shed his precious blood. But 2,000 years is a very short time in the view of eternity. But he went to work immediately when he was cast out of heaven, immediately flooding into the church with his ministers, with his false teachers, with his the spirit of Antichrist, which John said is already at work in the church today. The spirit of Antichrist is actually the Greek word is the opponent of Christ. It is not a man that's going to rise up and do anything in these last days like they're teaching in the end time prophecy scenarios. Satan has deceived the whole world. Man, the word Antichrist was only used 5 times in the Bible by the Apostle John in the book of 1 John and 2 John. But he says the spirit of Antichrist was already at work in the church. He said already there's many Antichrists. And how many more would there be today? Anyone who says nobody is free from sin, that is the spirit of Antichrist, because the prophecy of the Christ in Daniel 9, 24 through 27 says very clearly in the most plain and simple terms of any scripture in the Bible, the mission of Christ, that he would make an end of sin. Anyone who says that they're saved but they're still a sinner, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Anyone who says, well, nobody can be free from sin, we're all sinners as long as we're in this body, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Listen, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, said, every sin a man doeth is without the body. You don't need the body to sin before it's ever acted out through the body. It's been committed in the heart, probably many times before it's acted out. The sin in the heart will damn a soul. That's why Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And iniquity is the working of sin in the heart. It doesn't matter if it stays in or comes out. It will slam the brakes on that person who thinks they're going to enter into the new heavens and the new earth. God says in Revelation 21, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So those that are written in the Lamb's book of life are not those who defileth, neither work abomination or maketh a lie, but those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Those who are saved from their sin. Precious Savior. This gospel is real, and it is the power of God, the miracle of God that transforms a believer from the inside out, that transforms them in a moment of time by them simply hearing the truth and wanting it and believing it. It's for whosoever will. That's whosoever wants it. Praise God. I've noticed over the past 9 years in the prison ministry, man, I can be in a dorm with some men. I can get two men to sit down at a table with me and share this truth of the gospel with them. And one will be rejoicing. Man, praise God, I've never heard this before. This is exactly what I need. And they're made free in a moment of time. And the other one is getting furious. He's a religious person who does not want to be free from sin. I had a man tell me just, let's see, 3 nights ago in one of the prisons. He said, Brother Cooper, this was at the end of a service. He said, you're saying that salvation is saved from sin and Christ takes all of your sin away, but that you can't be saved until you hate your sin. I said, that's right. He says, well, I don't hate my sin. Actually, I love my sin. And I didn't ask him what it was, but I had a feeling, you know, that it's probably pornography. Man, pornography is an epidemic in this last generation. But he said, I love my sin. And it doesn't matter what it was. Sin is going to damn a person, whether it's lying, stealing, drugs, alcohol, pornography, whatever it is. It will damn that soul. Sin in the heart has to be removed. And when Christ comes in, it's all gone. Praise God. He don't take some of it and leave you to struggle with the rest of it. It's all gone. But he asked me, he said, I love my sin. And if the Lord can't take it away until you hate it, then what would you recommend for me? What would you recommend for me to do? I said, man, you need to understand you're in a very dangerous place. You're in an extremely dangerous place. We're in the last days. And it's like people are sleepwalking into eternity with that religious spirit in them, content in their sin because multitudes believe we're all sinners. People find comfort in numbers. But what did Jesus say? Many will be going therein. In that wide and broad way that leads to destruction, almost all. Do not find your comfort in numbers. Find your comfort in the Word of God. Find what you believe in the Word of God in a King James Bible. The modern translations have been so twisted and perverted that you will not see the finished work of Calvary. You will not see that those who believe the truth are saved. They are sanctified. The old man is crucified. He is dead. You will not see the truth that'll make you free. You need a King James Bible. But this man asked me, what would you recommend that I do? And I said, first, understand that you're in a very dangerous place and start praying and asking the Lord, Lord, let me see my sin the way you see it. God is not willing that any should perish. It is not his will that any would be cast into that lake of fire. But that's where sin is going to be quarantined for all of eternity. God said it will in no wise enter the new heavens and the new earth. Look what it has done to this earth. It will not enter therein. And anybody that dies with sin attached to their soul is going to be cast into that eternal lake of fire for all of eternity. What will you do in the end thereof? But I told him, pray and ask the Lord, let me see my sin the way you see it, Lord. Let me see me the way you see me as a sinner. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. And that is the Lord's will. If we pray something according to his will, we know that he hears us. And because he's not willing that any should perish, he will show you, he will reveal to you that sin must be dealt with now. On judgment day, nothing is going to change. Over here in the next chapter of Revelation, chapter 22, Jesus said, This is concerning his return to this earth, which is very, very soon. He says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." But he says, "Behold, I come quickly." That word is suddenly. When that seventh trumpet sounds and the Lord descends with a shout, it's going to be very suddenly. Nobody is going to be expecting it when it happens. It is going to be, like Jesus said, as a thief in the night. But it is very soon. It is at hand. And it will be the end thereof. If you are filthy now, if you have sin in your heart, he says when he returns, you'll still be filthy. Nothing is going to change at that time. Eternity will be sealed. But I have to ask that question, what will you do in the end thereof? Your religion is not going to save you. You know, people ask me all the time in the prison ministry, "Man, what denomination are you?" And I tell them, "I'm not any denomination." And usually they say, "Oh, so you're non-denomination." I say, "No, even that is a church. Even that, I'm not going to be placed into any box of church doctrine. I am a child of God, and I preach the word of God." There was never meant to be all the different denominations. Denomination means division. And all of this came out of the Reformation 500 years ago is where we got all the different denominations. But it wasn't the church that was reformed nearly as much as the beast that was reformed. That beast of the Holy Roman Empire that ruled 1,200 years, the 1,200 years of dark ages. John said in Revelation chapter 13, that beast received a deadly wound. And that was that Reformation. Martin Luther dealt that deadly wound to the beast with the revelation, "The just shall live by faith." And it delivered many people out of that Holy Roman Empire. But John also said, "I seen another beast rise up out of the earth." And this beast coincides with the last generation, which we are 56 years into. The beast came back smarter. He's reformed. The deadly wound was healed. That previous beast that ruled absolute for 1,200 years ruled out of fear. If you didn't convert to their doctrine and was baptized into their faith, into their church, then they would burn you at the stake as a heretic or a witch. They ruled out of fear. There was crusades marched under a banner of the cross in the name of Christ. But it was a beast. And this beast that John seen rise up, he said, "This one has horns like a lamb. But when it spake as a dragon." This beast will present itself as the Lamb of God. It's the great imposter. It has horns like a lamb. But John said, when it spake, it identified itself. He didn't know by looking at it, but when he heard it speak, he knew it speaks the doctrines that belong to the dragon, not the doctrines of the Lamb. And I believe the words he heard was, "We're all sinners as long as we're in this body." But that lamb beast has ruled throughout this last generation and has deceived the whole world, like it says in Revelation chapter 12. What will you do in the end thereof? Man, when you hear the truth, it is so important what you do with it. When you hear the truth, it is so important how you receive it in your heart. You don't have to say a word. But when you're hearing this message, you're hearing that Christ died to make you free from sin, to save you from your sin. And you cannot be saved from sin and remain in your sin. It is so important how you receive it. Like I said, you don't have to say a word, but God knows the heart. Is it good news? Even if you don't understand it, you can pray, Lord, open my eyes. If this is the truth, Lord, give me understanding. And he will do that. But be real with God, because he's going to be real with you. When that day comes, the end thereof, God is going to be real with every one of us. There is no games. People play games. God does not play games. People think they have another option. When they see the word of God and they hear a preacher telling them, Christ crucified our old man of sin. If you want it and you believe it, rejoice in it. Lay hold to it. Walk in it. If a person is born of God, crucifixion is not a goal in the future. It's a reality that they live in and they walk in. The old man is dead. Praise God, dead is dead. He doesn't struggle with sin. He's dead. Satan cannot tempt you every day of your life. He cannot tempt you any ever again, because the old man is dead. Praise God. What do you do with the gospel message like that? You believe it. Praise God. How do you receive it? You believe it. That's all God asks. He didn't make this gospel to where only the strong in willpower, those who have a good, hard, strong determination, can make it. No, it's for whosoever will. But you got to believe it. You got to believe the most foolish message ever preached. Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. It's foolishness. They say, man, that don't even make sense. How could my old man have been crucified with Christ? That was 2,000 years ago, because God's word says it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. That's all it takes. You got to believe it. Believe it. Rejoice in it. And walk in it. Praise God. It is the power of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto deliverance. That's what the word salvation means. The power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes it. Praise God. The power of God, the miracle of God. People say, well, nobody can be free from sin. But everyone would agree that God is an almighty God. Man, he created the whole universe, everything in it. He's an almighty God. Well, don't you think if he gives a problem, an answer for the sin problem, it's going to be an almighty answer? It is the power of God, the miracle of God. And it was finished 2,000 years ago. When Christ comes into a heart, it is finished. Sin is gone. Praise God. The message to a sinner is Christ crucified alone. That is it. That's the only answer. There is no plan B. If you don't want this answer, there is no other answer. There is no other option. You know, so many people think, well, this is what we believe. We believe he took the penalty for our sin. We believe he forgives us every time we sin. There is no plan B. There is no other option. You need to know the source of all of that. It is the religious devil. This is how he deceives. But there is a truth, and it'll do what Jesus said the truth will do. I know I lived both sides of the cross for 13 years. I lived that religious struggle trying to be a child of God. I was a religious sinner trying to be a child of God. It is impossible. Man, it doesn't matter how much you pray, how much you go to church, how much you worship, how much you sing. A religious sinner can be very religious. He can pastor a church. He can pastor a super church, and they do. He can fulfill any position of a church. But one thing he cannot be is a child of God, because to be born of God, the old man dies. A sinner can be very religious, and I tried for 13 years to be a child of God, and it's like a turtle trying to fly. He can't. He's not that kind of creature. A sinner can be very religious, but he cannot be a child of God. No matter how much he believes that he is, if sin is still in the heart, he cannot be a child of God. And it's the hardest thing anyone could ever do. It's the most miserable life anyone could ever live, to be devout as a religious sinner, trying your hardest to overcome sin. You're at war against something within you. You're at war against your own nature. You're trying not to do what you really want to do inside. It is a miserable life. I lived it for 13 years, but 13 years ago, I got truly saved. And in a moment of time, it was all gone. Praise God. And it's been gone for 13 years. There has never been a desire, a temptation, a backsliding, a stumbling. Dead is dead. The old man is dead. Praise God. Satan can only tempt a person with what's in their heart. And you're going to hate your sin before the Lord ever takes it away. He cannot come and tempt you with something that you hate, and it's gone. The old man is dead. I said the message to a sinner, religious or not, is Christ crucified alone. You put your trust in him alone and what he did at the cross. And then once a person has believed the truth and been saved from sin, the message to a child of God is abide in him. Stay there. Don't be moved away. He is our life. He is everything we need. How do you abide in him? You worship him daily. You rejoice in him. You thank him. Praise God. And it is so easy because you're going to hate your sin before he takes it away. It's going to become that horrible thing inside of you that you know you can't get rid of. It's going to be worse than cancer. It's going to be worse than any disease. But when he takes it away, you are free. You are free indeed. Free from sin to serve the living God. You will have no problem rejoicing in him daily and worshiping him daily. We will all grow in our walk with God, in the fruits of the Spirit. We will all grow in the knowledge of the Word as we give ourselves to the Word of God, studying and seeking God. But nobody is going to grow out of sin. That is a finished work of redemption. That is the finished work of salvation. And you put it into a process and you destroy it. Nobody is being saved. Nobody is being sanctified. That's why you need a King James Bible. The modern translations will use the word being sanctified. And those who believe that sanctification is a lifelong process, they never arrive. And if you believe that, if you believe you're on a lifelong journey to holiness, I have to tell you, you will never arrive. You will die in your sin. Because sanctification is through the blood of Jesus, which has been shed. And those who believe, they are sanctified in a moment of time. Salvation, sanctification, it's all the same work. It is not two separate works. When you separate them, then you present salvation as you're saved from hell. There is no such salvation that God offers from hell that leaves the person in their sin. If you're saved from sin, you're also saved from hell. But when people tell me all the time in the prisons, man, I'm saved, but I still sin. And I ask them, what are you saved from? And they always say, well, I'm saved from hell. You have been lied to. You have been robbed of the victory. You have been deceived. And you must know that and let go of the lie and believe the truth while there is still time. Praise God. Time is running out. The clock is ticking. And the end thereof always comes. Nobody is going to avoid the end thereof. And I ask again, as I'm closing out this message, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means, and the people love to have it so. They love what is being preached. Man, you can be saved and still sin. You can still have your sin and be saved at the same time. The people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end thereof? The Word of God makes it very clear. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. There shall in no wise enter therein any sin. Jesus said, I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The end thereof is going to be a horrible day for so many. Many people are expecting to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, when they haven't done well. They haven't believed the word of God, and they have not been made free. Praise God. It's as easy as wanting it and believing it. If you do not want it, I'll tell you the same thing I told the man 3 nights ago in the prison. Start praying and asking God, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see my sin the way you see it. Start begging the Lord to reveal to you the truth of the gospel before it's too late. People gamble with something they cannot afford to lose. The stakes are too high to be wrong about this. Christ did not fail. He was victorious. He made an end of sin and reconciliation for iniquity and brought in everlasting righteousness into the heart of everyone that believes the truth. And Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses. You're going to be the very evidence. That's what that word means in the Strong's Concordance, that Greek word witness. The evidence and the proof. A witness is not somebody that's just going around telling people about Jesus. There's many Jesuses preached today. But they will have the evidence within them that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Christ of God. He's the Christ of prophecy. He did what God sent Christ to do. And they will be telling others about the real and true Jesus, the Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. Praise God. God bless you. Take this gospel to the Lord. You don't need a preacher to lead you through a prayer or to baptize you in water. And listen, I'm not against water baptism. It's a beautiful ceremony. It's a religious, it's a symbolic religious ordinance of the real thing. The real thing is we're baptized into his death by faith. But that water baptism is a public testimony. I'm a Christian. I'm going to serve the Lord. I am not against water baptism until it's presented as salvation, and then it's deadly. Then it damns multitudes of souls. That's why people are saying we're all sinners. What they have trusted in couldn't change that. And Jesus said the truth will make you free. If what you have believed has not made you free, it's because it can't. But that's not going to stand before God as an excuse that will allow you to go on in. If what you have believed has not made you free, get rid of it and believe the truth of Christ that will make you free. Take this gospel truth to the Lord. Spend time with the Lord. Praise God. He's not willing that any should perish. You believing God is the first step. That God said his son would make an end of sin. And he does it in the heart of the believer. He crucified our old man of sin. You've got to know this. When you say, well, I don't believe that, you are an offense to the Lord. You're calling God a liar. And John said in 1 John chapter 5, whosoever believeth on the Son of God has the witness within. They have that evidence within. But he that believeth not the record that God gave of his son is calling God a liar, and it will not be good in the end thereof. Take this gospel to the Lord. Lay hold to it. Believe it. Rejoice in it. Thank Jesus for shedding his blood to wash the inside of the cup, to cleanse from all sin. Praise God. Thank him for what he did for us at the cross, and let it become your reality. Praise God. God bless you.